Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Infront scores! Doan on the doorstep! His second of the game, and it's a power play goal. Sabres are up 2-0 on the Panthers.
Dan Dunleavy on the call right there. Sabres taking on the Montreal Canadiens tonight. Chance to get back to level, back to 500. 7:30 p.m. is the puck drop, which means 6:30 p.m. pregame here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Going to get with Paul Hamilton in a minute. Let me reset the show for you here today. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Monday with a little bit of hockey detour because we have no Bills game from yesterday to talk about, but a Sabres game tonight in Montreal. And, of course, our Buffalo Football Monday is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. So got a lot to get to, including our injury report, our extra point from the sidelines. My sideline's a little different for you this week. Got something to share for you there. It wasn't a Bills game, obviously. And then, of course, a little bit about more of a jump around the league, sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, all coming your way in a little while. Paul Hamilton joining me now on the West Her Hotline. Of course, Paul's appearance brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda, Relax, we got this. Well, Paul, I'm going to relax because I survived again in your loser pool. I mean, you know, we're just chugging along here. Although I will say, picking the Raiders was kind of a win-win, right? Because if the Raiders had beaten the Chiefs, I would not be unhappy, even though I'd be out of your loser pool.
Most folks actually did take Las Vegas that are left. I had three entries, and I was stupid enough to take the same team to lose in two of the three entries, which was New England against the Bills.
Oh.
So I knocked out two then. And then the next week, I'm not – I would make this pick again. I took the Giants to lose on Thursday Night Football, and they won and against the Eagles. And I would make that pick again. I wasn't sorry. So that eliminated me. I'm totally out.
How about the Giants yesterday blowing that lead? They were up three scores in the fourth quarter, 33 points in the fourth quarter by the Denver Broncos. Pretty crazy right there for them to come back.
I've never seen a quarterback like Nick's. I mean, and I see it more because I've had him on my fantasy team for 2 years. In the first half, he looks like he couldn't start for a college team. He is awful, almost weekly. You're sitting there at halftime going, oh, good, I have 2 points from Knicks. And then the next thing you know, he gets 35 points in the second half. For whatever reason, it takes him a half to warm up almost on a weekly basis. And certainly that happened against the Giants yesterday.
Sabres, Canadiens tonight. What's happening behind you, Paul? Are the Sabres skating?
It's just the end of the Montreal Canadiens morning skate. The Sabres will be on the ice in a little bit over 20 minutes. And I don't think it'll be an optional as most of them been this year because they did not practice yesterday. So I think we'll probably see a full skate from the Sabres at 11:30.
By the way, I don't know why I assumed that you wouldn't be watching this gate. I said behind you, but it's probably in front of you. You're watching it while you're talking to me. All right. So
it is, yeah,
that
it
being
is
said, all right, let's start with that. Who do we expect on the ice for the skate? Let's do a little injury update here because the Sabres mm-hmm. need to start getting healthy. They have started to see some guys return a little bit, but still some other guys are a little ways away. What do we know about some of the injured players? Who's in, who's out right now?
Yeah, you mentioned an injury report, so we won't just do a Bills injury report. We'll do a Sabres one, too.
Love it.
And it was getting better. You know, they were able to get a Samuelson back and get some guys back. Greenway is right around the corner. Kesselring is back on the ice. Lukanen is practicing and probably will wind up in Rochester on a rehab. So everything looked like it was going in the right direction. Well, then Danforth is now out for over a month. Norris, of course, is out for over a couple of months. Bryson is in concussion protocol. So Noah Östlund, the former number one pick, is up and will probably be in the lineup to take Danforth's place. And then Metsä was already here. So it would be between Zach Jones, who they signed from the New York Rangers and did pretty well in its four games in Rochester at four assists, or Zach Metsä. One of the two of them will wind up in the lineup for Bryson. So injuries were getting better, but now they're starting to acquire more injuries and having to bring up more guys from Rochester.
UPL and Jordan Greenway and Michael Kesselring. What about those three specifically? What are we looking at?
Well, Kesselring got on the ice Friday for the first time by himself, you know, in a rehab skate. So, and that's when Lindy Ruff had anticipated he would be on. So he hasn't joined the club yet. Greenway has been practicing with the team. You got to remember, Greenway hasn't played since March and has had two surgeries. So this is kind of like his training camp. So, yeah, he feels better and doesn't have pain, but they can't just throw him in because they got to get him some practice time. So that's really what they're doing right now. Wouldn't shock me if maybe you see Greenway by the weekend. If everything goes well and there are no relapses or whatever. As far as Lukanen goes, he's fine. He says he doesn't feel the pain and is going well. But again, he has had one period of play since last April and hardly had a training camp. So and Lindy Ruff did not say this wouldn't happen. It would probably be a good idea to get him down to Rochester on a rehab assignment and get him a couple of starts before you activate him into the NHL.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline coming at you today. I am. He's in Montreal. Sabres are there tonight, 7:30 p.m. is where the puck drops. He's in Montreal. I'm down in Olean at St. Bonaventure University today, Paul. WSBU, the radio studios here. Nice campus, obviously. I'm talking to some students today. You ever been down here this way to go to a game or visit the campus?
Yeah, I was down there for a game. I was down there when they had that scandal and they had some press conferences. So, yeah, I have been down there, not much, but a little bit. I just was thinking back when you said the college station, my old college station back in Ames, Iowa, which since I was there for a bit of a fifth year, I spent a lot of time there once I couldn't play hockey anymore, and there and the AM station in Ames, Iowa.
Just give a little shout out to the sports management program in the School of Business and students from Sports Media. I'll be hooking up and talking with them a little bit later. In the meantime, talking with Paul Hamilton here ahead of Sabres Canadiens tonight. All right, they lose three, they win two. Is there a big picture what's been different that we can talk about here, or is it just the little things that go your way sometimes that don't go your way other times?
Well, what's been different is Zach Benson and Josh Doan. I mean, that's what they were missing, especially what Zach Benson brings to the table. It's not an accident. They both have 5 points in their last two games with the way they play. They're tied for the team lead in scoring, and Benson's only played two games. But it's contagious. When you see Zach Benson doing it, you say to yourself, maybe I should be doing that too. And then you see the Kulik, Thompson, and Benson line all at the net, and you see everybody at the net. Florida is one of the most physical teams you are going to play, whether they're injured or not. You are in for a battle. I think the Sabres out-physicaled them in that game. I have never seen Matias Samuelson play that physical in a game as he did in that game against Florida. He was knocking people down on the penalty kill. That he was one of his best games I have seen him play, but there was physicality to his game. And that's what Lindy Ruff has been on him about since he's become the coach, is use your size to your advantage. We're not talking about fighting or anything like that, but use your size to your advantage to lean on people, to take them out of the play, to make open ice hits and that type of thing. And I thought Samuelson did a good job when Dahlin viciously cross-checked Marchand in the back. Marchand lost his mind and jumped him, and the whole Sabre team was there. Thompson immediately got there, and they were all there for their captain, which we couldn't have said last year before the incident where Thompson got hurt. I really think the Sabres were the more physical team and initiated more physicality in that game. And you saw them around the net. You saw them winning battles. You saw them using their speed to get to the battles. Just the things that were missing in the first three games.
The other thing that is different, Paul, special teams. Holy cow. I mean, we were talking about the Sabres, you know, 0 for their first 11 to start the season. I'm looking now, they're 5 of 18, and they're, like, literally near the top of the league suddenly in power play percentage. In fact, let me get the number. There's number 6 overall, 27.78. They're 5 for 18. That means for 5 of their last 7, actually.
Yeah.
But it hasn't ebbed with the penalty kill. They're number 1 in the NHL, killing off penalties. 23 power plays against, only 1 power play goal against. So that's obviously been a big difference.
Yeah, they went 7 for 7 on the penalty kill against Florida. And let me tell you something. If they keep taking giving the other team 7 power plays a game, they're not going to get away with it, no matter how good their penalty kill is. That was very good. They got away with it. That's the only thing that I would say they still have to get out of their game is taking the stupid penalties. They take some dumb ones still, and they're still doing it. Benson, right at 9 seconds into the game, sticks his leg out for a tripping penalty at center ice. No, you don't need to do that. They killed it, and that was fine. But the power play, you're right, 5 of their last 7. Interestingly enough, they've got those 5 goals, and if you look at who scored the goals, nobody named Tuck, Thompson, or Dahlin scored. It was two by Zucker, and 2 by Doan and 1 by Quinn. Those are your 5 power play goals. Now, who would have guessed that Thompson, Dahlin, and Tuck wouldn't be involved? They got some assists, but they didn't get any goals on those power play goals.
Yeah, facing a Montreal team tonight. It's about middle of the pack in both special teams areas. We'll see if the Sabres can continue on in their special teams play. Really nice turnaround here. Again, you go from 0 for 11 to 6th in the league over a 2-game period. It also shows that it has been just a very small sample size. Okay, a small sample size of Josh Doan, but man, oh man. For all the things that people say about Kevin Adams and the build of this roster, I'll say if he found this player in that trade for J.J. Paterka to continue the way he's playing long-term, short-term and long-term in Buffalo, and the addition of Kesselring, who looks like he should be a pretty good defenseman, boy, that could turn out to be a really nice trade. This kid has looked really nice in Buffalo Sabres blue and gold.
Well, the trade was off until Doan was part of it, and Kevin Adams was very clear about that, and that was both Kevin Adams told us and the Utah general manager told us that. That originally, no, they weren't going to make the deal if Doan was in it. And Adam said, then there's no deal. Call me if you change your mind. And then they decided, this is the Utah GM. You know, he said to himself, look, we want Paterka. He's a really good player. We want him. We will put Doan into the trade. And then the trade was made. And when he came, I told you guys, he's going to be in the middle of everything. And he certainly has been in the middle of everything and has an upside. Who knows what that upside is, and we still don't. We saw for 5 games what the upside, or 2 games what the upside is. But we do know he's a guy that has, you know, scored in the American Hockey League almost 30 goals in less than 70 games. And, you know, is a guy who's got a great shot and now has 5 points so far to start off the season with the Buffalo Sabres all in his last 2 games. So, he's a player. I think you're going to start seeing a lot of number 91 jerseys around the arena before too long. He's going to be a player that the fans of Buffalo are going to like.
Yeah, he's playing really well so far to start his Sabres career. All right, so they have Montreal tonight. Then they're back home for a couple more. We talked about the front-loaded home schedule to start the year. It's the Red Wings. It's the Maple Leafs. These are key Atlantic Division matchups. And then at Toronto, it's a back-to-back. When do we see Alex Lyon not in goal? Is that tonight? Is that later in the week? When does that happen?
Lindy Ruff wouldn't commit to it because I happened to ask him before the Florida game, and he says that's all we're thinking about now. He didn't say no. He just said we'll think about that after the Florida game. This would be the game I would put him in, even though Alex Lyon is coming off a shutout, only because then you could put Lyon in on Wednesday. You could put him in on Friday. I don't really have a problem with letting Ellis play the second game of the back-to-back if it's not his first NHL game. I would rather he play his first NHL game against Montreal, even though it's in a cathedral here in the Bell Center. But I would rather it be here and get it out of the way. And it's about time. I mean, they have to monitor Lyon, too. When does fatigue set in? And that's something, you know, the goaltending coach and the strength and conditioning coach will sit with Lindy Ruff. And they'll talk to Alex Lyon, too. But, you know, Alex Lyon's not going to turn down a start. He's a gamer. So it's, you know, it's going to fatigue eventually. So to me, tonight makes sense. I don't know if it makes sense with the team, especially with Lyon coming off a shutout.
Paul, big picture, do the Sabres have a goaltending controversy, if you will, when UPL is back?
No. It's Lyon's job until further notice, in my mind.
It's Lyon's job. Okay. It had been UPL's job, and Alex Lyon showed up at the last minute, so you're saying it's Lyon's job. Lose your job because of injury, but you're saying you lose your job because of injury.
It wasn't Lukanen's job at the end of last year when Lindy Ruff, for the last month and a half of the season, decided I'm going to do whatever it takes to win hockey games, and whoever gives us the best chance to win hockey games. I think Lukanen played two games, and it was every night. It was James Reimer, the 37-year-old, who wasn't going to be part of the Sabres' plans. But when Lindy Ruff decided we need to put guys in who are going to help us win hockey games, it was not Ukko-Pekka Lukanen. So I think you're right. I think going into camp, they had him penciled in as the starter, to see, you know, what happened in the offseason, where he made improvements and those types of things. But I always said, this is Alex Lyon's opportunity. He's never had an opportunity like this in the NHL at age 32. So this is his opportunity to make it so that the coaching staff cannot take him out of the net. And so far, in five games, he has done just that.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. A little thought on Montreal here, Paul. Looks like they're building it and maybe got it to a spot where they feel really good. Cole Caulfield had a great overtime goal the other night. I'm sure you saw that. I think it was against Nashville. But looks like a team that is on the up and come here.
Yeah, they've played six games, and it's not surprising at all that Cole Caulfield and their captain Nick Suzuki are their leading scorers with 8 points. So, you know, that wouldn't shock anybody. Sam Montembeau, who really played very well for them last year, and one of the reasons they went up the standings, has not had, and I don't think he's going to play tonight. He's 2-2, but his save percentage is only .857 and a .326. So I don't think the Sabres are going to see him. Look, I believe he was out there taking shots late when I started with you. So he just hasn't been so far in four games, the goaltender. But yeah, the Canadiens are 4-2. You know, they're off to a pretty good start. They lost their first game and then have gone on a pretty good run since then. So they went on a four-game winning streak and then lost another one. So it's a hockey club that they know how to play. They don't have a lot of superstars on their team. Line A didn't play the last game due to injury, but he doesn't have a goal yet in five games. You know, he's hot and cold, basically a power play specialist, I think, is how you would look at him. And they also got a key injury, too. Gouley is not going to play. Gouley got hurt, and his first game out was the last game, and they're not going to have him for a while on defense either.
All right, Paul. Well, have a nice time today in Montreal and covering the game tonight. We'll be following along at PHAM1717, of course, WGR550.com. Thanks a lot, brother.
Okay, take care.
All right, you got it. That is Paul Hamilton on the West Her hotline. I'd say that qualifies as like a goalie controversy in some way, right? I mean, I hear Paul. I'm not disagreeing. It's Alex Lyon's job now, right? But folks, I mean, Lindy said when UPL's the number one. Like he said, he's the number one. They sent Devin Levi down. UPL was the guy. He came back from injury. Yeah, he's our number one. We got to fill some guys in here. Alex Lyon showed up after they basically said Georgiev's not it. And now he's in. And I'm not telling you it's not his job. I agree. And as Owen said earlier, he's only in the crease now. It's his crease. But to me, that sounds like a bit of it like a controversy. Like the old saying in sports is you don't lose your job because of injury, which, by the way, is not necessarily true. Lots of guys have lost their job because of injury. And I think when UPL is healthy, they're going to have to figure that out. It's not a bad problem to have, right? As long as Alex Lyon keeps playing the way he is. We'll see tonight, 7:30 p.m. The puck drops. 6:30 p.m. is the pregame show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal Capaccio with you. The Canadians, I'm looking now, 21 goals scored in their first six games. Sabres have 13 in five games. They started off, obviously, could not score at all for the first three games. And then big explosion lately. How about that special teams turnaround? Sabres start the year 0-for-11 on the power play, but also killing their first 11 penalties. So they're 0-for-11, but 11-for-11 on the flip side. And you're like, well, neither is really that sustainable, right? You're going to get some power play goals, and you're going to get goals scored against you. Well, guess what? Over the last two games, 5-of-7 on the power play. They're now 5-of-18, 6th in the NHL percentage-wise. Incredible to do that and jump that high. And they're number one on the penalty kill. They've killed 22-of-23. But I agree with Paul completely. You can't keep taking penalties. You keep taking penalties, 23 penalties taken over the first five games, not good. And that will come back to bite you at the Montreal Canadiens. We'll have that for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll have more of the Nordtown Automotive Extra Point Show for you coming up after this timeout. We got to get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, we'll get to your Barnes Firm injury report on the Buffalo Bills as we head into a week against the Carolina Panthers. An extra point from the sidelines, a lot to get to, a jump around the league. So we're going to do it all after this timeout here on WGR. All right, let's take a phone call before we get to our injury update for the week. Look ahead to the Panthers game. Get your extra point for the sidelines and a whole bunch of other stuff. Alex is up.
Hi,
Alex, it says you're in Loveland. Is that, what is that, Texas?
No, I'm in Rockland County, Lower Hudson
Rockland,
Valley.
I got you. All right, I'm like, Loveland, where is that? Loveland, Texas? I'm like, I didn't know, but that's all good. I got you now. Thank you, buddy. Thank you.
So, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. I want to talk about solution game. It's easy to talk about the blame game, and the problem right now is you could point the finger at Dean. You could point the finger at McDermott. You could point the finger at Brady and Babich and the players, you know, and you can a judge would hear your case and say, you know, you have validity there. But at this point, it's not going to help us win the playoffs. We got to figure out solutions. Dean, to me, is off the table. We keep blaming him. Okay, he could fix it in April. There's not much we could do with our salary cap. But I want to talk about the coordinators. It was really rough watching the 49ers have a great game plan against the Falcons, a team that just made us look embarrassing. Last week, we should have lost easily 34. There was a Drake London touchdown that didn't score and a blocked field goal. So I feel like we left 10 points as a gift. But moving forward, I want to see this team figure out how to win games. And to me, the easiest way is the offense. I don't think we can overhaul our defense. It is what it is at this point. But our offense is leaving a lot of meat on the bone. We have Josh Allen and James Cook. I'd rather have Josh Allen and James Cook than Matt Jones and McCaffrey, as great as McCaffrey is right now. And watching what they did, I think everybody wants Josh to be Josh. That's actually going to hurt us sometimes. Josh can be Josh in the fourth quarter when we need him, but we need to control the game. We need to control the ball and the game script. And I think the best solution is run the rock and throw the ball to the running backs and get the ball out within 3 seconds. So this falls on coordinators. I'm going to put the finger on Brady, McDermott, and Babich, and those three guys have to evolve because the script is out on the Buffalo Bills how to beat us. Pressure Josh Allen, force him to make bad decisions, and they can't stop us on defense, just pass and run. You know, so we have to outrun and score more points as fast as possible because we're not going to be able to hold teams to under 20. It's not happening anymore. So we got it. Unless Leslie Frazier comes in and they start bringing back every Buffalo Bill from 5 years ago, it's not happening with this roster. That's going to have to wait for next year. But this year, it's all about the offense, in my opinion.
Okay, I got you. Good call. Good call, Alex. I mean, look, I agree completely. Like, if you want something changed with the roster other than making a trade, which you can do, you're not overhauling the roster. You're not getting rid of 53 players. That's not happening. You can't do it now. You do it in April, right? That's when you do it in February, March. You know, you go to the scouting combine, you go to the owners meetings, then you have free agency in March and the draft at late April. That's when you do that for Brandon Bean. You want a new GM, you want a new head coach, things like that. Like that's not happening right now. Okay. As he said, like even things they can do, even the GM can do can't be happening until the offseason. Yeah. You can make a tweak here, a tweak there. That's right. You can make a trade. but...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
What you can fix now is try to how you want to play football. When Sean McDermott said against the Patriots, really resonated with me. We played their kind of game, and the Bills didn't want to do that. They want to play their kind of game. And I asked Sean the following week on the radio program. I said, "What does your kind of game mean, right?" And start taking care of the football, fundamentals, all those kinds of things. And that's right. I think every coach would tell you that. Maybe their game has to be a little bit more, just outscore, right? Like a lot of you want. I don't know. Alex says, run it more. Control the game more. Don't allow teams to be on the field against your defense. 803-0550. All right, let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We are monitoring several different players this week for the Buffalo Bills who could return, might not return. We'll see what happens as far as practice is concerned. So the first day that we're going to hear anything from Sean McDermott. By the way, speaking of this, Paul says Beck Malenstein not on the ice for the Sabres. So following Paul as well for his injury update. But as far as this one is concerned for the Buffalo Bills, they have several people, Dalton Kincaid, Curtis Samuel, Daquan Jones, who did not play in Monday night's game, who are monitoring. And then guys who left the game, like like Josh Palmer, who left the game. Both safeties got banged up. Taylor Rapp, Cole Bishop. Then you have Matt Milano's situation. When is he coming back, if he is this week? So a lot to get to. And then you have the suspended players, which aren't injuries, but they're going to be part of all of that's baked in together with who's going to be on the roster this week. So all of that will start happening on Wednesday. We'll hear from Sean McDermott. And then the Bills will be on the practice field getting ready for the Carolina Panthers, who, oh, by the way, have a significant injury themselves, their own quarterback, Bryce Young. We don't know if the Bills are going to play Bryce Young or Andy Dalton at this point. That is the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. All right, let's get to your extra point from the sidelines. Something deeper into the game from the sidelines. Brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And, of course, there was no sidelines for me this weekend for a Buffalo Bills game, but I was very close to the sidelines, not on it, up at Syracuse University, and had a great time going back to my alma mater, Syracuse. Watch Pitt play Syracuse in football. Did not go Syracuse's way. They're having a tough go of it on offense because Steve Angeli, their quarterback from Notre Dame, who had tore his Achilles against Clemson, a big win. Now they have Ricky Collins. Lots of boos coming from the crowd. Ricky Collins, they don't want him to be quarterback. He's not really, doesn't seem like he's that good and made some pretty bad mistakes. And Pitt had Syracuse punted to Pitt with like 10 seconds left in the half. They run it back for a touchdown. It's 17-7 at halftime. You're like, oh my gosh. Anyway, all that didn't go well. But you know what went well? Just being there, being down near the field. The dome looks great, and I recommend somebody going over. If you just want to experience college football in different environments, we hear people say they're going to go to a game at Notre Dame or Michigan or Ohio State. No, I understand that the JMA Wireless Dome is not considered like a cathedral of football like a lot of those places, but it's a really interesting place to watch a game, and we were able to get down near the sidelines and, say hi to some people that I knew, both from Syracuse and Pitt on both sides. In fact, Alan Green was there. Alan Green used to be the athletic director at the University of Buffalo. Now he's at Pittsburgh. He was down there. And the game itself didn't go that great, but the atmosphere and being on campus was pretty cool. So that was my extra point from the sidelines this weekend. Brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. Let's take a look around the NFL and what happened over the weekend. We'll start, of course, with that game that we know on Thursday night, the big, let me go back to here. Thursday night? Which game was Thursday night? Oh, hold on. Hold on here. Who played Thursday night here? I had it right here for a second. There we go. The big upset, if you want to call it that, right? Bengals over Steelers. Because it was Joe Flacco having Mike Tomlin's words come back to haunt him about why would the Cleveland Browns trade a guy they thought was good enough to be their starting quarterback to a division rival who's hurting at that position. He said, Andrew Berry must be smarter than me. Apparently, yes, because Andrew Berry, apparently yes. That is exactly what they did. Give the Bengals a live, good quarterback who can get the ball to Jamar Chase. 33-31. Over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Bengals now 3-4. Steelers fall to 4-2. Rams all over the Jags in London. Man, 35-7. This game was basically uncompetitive from the start. Rams go to 5-2. Without Puka, they score 35 points. Jags could not do anything all day offensively, and the Rams had a great game plan coming in. By the way, remember last year when the Bills went to London really late in the week and everybody's like, oh my God, they went too late. The Rams showed up on Saturday morning and then they scored 35 points against a Jags team that was there all week. It doesn't matter when you go. It can have a tiny effect. You know what matters? How you play. Simple as that. Bears beat the Saints 26-14. Their fourth win in a row. Saints dropped to 1-6. Could the Saints be looking to sell off some parts? Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, something to monitor. Bears, 26-14, they go to 4-2. And boy, the Browns defense all over the Dolphins. Tua, are they going to bench Tua? Are they going to fire Mike McDaniel? Dolphins 1-6 in the mix. The Dolphins and the Jets, 1-6 and 0-7. A combined 1-13 in the AFC East. The Browns, they go to 2-5, 31-6 over the Miami Dolphins. And of course, the Chiefs, 31-0, looked terrific beating the Raiders, who had nothing going at all offensively. The Raiders in this game, though, I will say, they dropped two interceptions right in their hands. And they had a ball on the turf, easy to pick up, that bounced right to a Chief. Either way, I was just getting frustrated by it. But you know what else happened? Third and goal, Raiders stop him. Oh, holding on the Raiders. Third and goal, Raiders stop him. Oh, illegal contact on the Raiders. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Chiefs go to 4-3 after a 31-0 win. Raiders drop to 2-5. Raiders just aren't that good. Eagles beat the Vikings 28-22. 5-2 for the Eagles now. It was a bit of a grind most of the way for the Eagles. Vikings just aren't quite there. They're not quite good enough. They can't do enough on offense. 28-22. The score, the Vikings dropped to 3-3. Panthers just told you about the Jets going to 0-7 now after 6 points scored. That's between Justin Fields and Tyrod Taylor. Panthers with a concerning injury to Bryce Young. It's not, it seems, long-term, but it could be this week, short-term, against the Bills. Will they have Bryce Young? Will they have Andy Dalton? They are 4-3 now. How about that? The Panthers, 4-3 after a 13-6 win against the Jets. The Patriots looked a little bit like the Titans were going to give them a fight until halftime. Then the Patriots just kind of unleashed the fury on defense on Cam Ward. And they come out with 14 quick points in the third quarter. Coast from there. 31-13. Patriots lead the AFC East at 5-2. Titans 1-6. The New York Giants had a, three-score, 19-point lead, I think it was, going into the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter, it was a wild fourth quarter. The Broncos, first team ever in NFL history to not score through three quarters, then have 33 points in the fourth quarter. They win 33-32. The wide field goal, extra point. The extra point that missed at the end for the Giants kills them because, yes, they gave up the big lead. But because of that, the Broncos kicked the field goal to win it from Will Lutz instead of tying it and go to overtime. 33-32. Broncos lead the AFC West at 5-2. Giants drop to 2-5. Colts atop the AFC overall, 38-24 over the Chargers. Colts are good. They are playing good football all around. And they just kind of smothered the Chargers all afternoon. 38-24. Chargers drop to 4-3. Packers beat the Cardinals 27-23. Did I read right? The Cardinals have lost five straight games in the last minute of the game. Packers win. I think that's what happened here again. 27-23. Packers go to 4-1-1. Cardinals dropped to 2-5. No Kyler Murray in that game. Cowboys beat the Commanders 44-22. Jaden Daniels injured. Hamstring, I believe. He tried to come back in. He wanted to. They said no. Will he play against the Chiefs next Monday night? Not sure. Cowboys 3-3-1. Commanders 3-4, a bit disappointing for them. And then last night, a couple of you called about this, 49ers beat the Falcons 20-10. Christian McCaffrey had a great night. Go check out his highlights and stats. 5-2 for the Niners, 3-3 for the Falcons. Excuse me. Falcons dropped to 3-3 after the loss. Bills and Ravens were the only teams on byes this week. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, on the way on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, get ready to freeze for a reason. Buffalo Polar Plunge is back December 4th through 6th with four plunges over 3 days, including the all-new Corporate Plunge, cool school events, and the main event Saturday at 2 p.m. It's the biggest polar plunge in New York. Join the fun and support a great cause. Visit nsyo.org. Also, enter at WGR550.com for your chance to win a free home heating system, courtesy of T-Mark Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Whether your home needs a furnace boiler or ductless heat pump, T-Mark's got you covered. The last day to enter is October 26, 2025. Sal Capaccio back with you, wrapping up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show from the WSBU studios. Thank you very much to St. Bonaventure University, the students, the staff, everybody here at the Sports Management Program in the School of Business, the students from Sports Media, who I'll be speaking to in a little while. Let's get to sit up, stand down, and of course, end it with, hey, buddy. We're going to sit up today on what the Bengals might have in Joe Flacco now playing quarterback. How about that in the game he put together against the Pittsburgh Steelers? Joe Flacco, 31 of 47, 342 yards, three touchdowns. He knows where his bread is buttered. He got it to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. They scored a lot of points, and look at their schedule coming up, and what do they have to maybe be able to make some inroads here. The Jets, then the Bears, then a bye week, and then the Steelers again. I mean, the Bengals. The Bengals could be a little bit back, a little bit. Their defense still, you know, not that great. But Joe Flacco gives them a chance on offense. All right, we're going to stand down on the Jacksonville Jaguars, folks. I mean, I watched this team a little bit on, I listened to a lot of the game, watched some of it against the Rams in London. I mean, they can't get out of their own way. Yeah, I know they beat the Chiefs. How the heck did they beat the Chiefs? 31-28 they won. They beat the Niners 26-21. But man, they look terrible against the Rams. 35-7, they're there for a week. They commit dumb penalties. They have really like operational mistakes. You're like, how does this happen? But I'm gonna stand down on the Jags right now, but they do have a bye week. Then they have the Raiders and then the Texans, who play tonight, by the way, against the Seahawks. All right, let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
All right, my buddy is a guy a lot of you know as Anthony, that's his name. Actually, Anthony is, he is the head. He runs, and he's a big part of what's called Poncho's Army, and they do a lot of great stuff for Western New York and backpacks for a cause. And, you know, Pancho Villa, remember when Pancho Villa had passed away, and he kind of took over that big, you know, part of the cause of raising money and giving backpacks to kids. And here's why. Anthony invited me to play golf. We've known each other here for several years due to just some things in the community, and I had a great time. I went out and I played for the first time ever, 18 Mile Creek in Hamburg. It was beautiful. Really nice golf course. Had a great time. And Anthony had a friend that I played with. First time met him. His name is Tom. So Anthony and Tom, thank you so much for a great time. I really had a great time on Friday playing golf out in Hamburg at 18 Mile Creek with them. And boy, they can both hit a golf ball. And I actually played like some of the best golf I played. Oh, and I played some of the best golf of my, of a while now. I shot an 81 at 18 Mile Creek. I was really happy with that. I don't know how, that was nice.
That's pretty solid.
How about this? I had eight straight pars. Eight.
Oh. Man, where were those in the middle of the round, front end of the round, back end of the round?
Yes, so basically they bridged like four and four, like three and then five holes. I shot a 41 and a 40.
Nice.
And that was the last three holes of the first nine and the next five holes of the next nine. And then I had a double to end the streak. But anyway, that we won't count that. No, seriously, it was a great time. But anyway, 81. I was there, buddy. You know what I mean when you're feeling good like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's nothing better, is there? Like when you're hitting the ball good and you have a day out there, cannot.
Yeah.
So I'm glad.
But listen, and with great company too. So thanks for being my buddies, and thanks to Anthony for inviting me and Tom meeting you. And you can find Anthony, by the way, online on Twitter at BeCoolFool. How about I like that? At BeCoolFool. And that was a really nice day, and I appreciated that. It was just a relaxing day with some friends and people you just kind of have a good time with. And that's a cool thing to be able to do and experience. So I had a great time out there. Anthony and Tom, you're my buddies this week. I appreciate you. Thank you again to WSBU here at St. Bonaventure for allowing me to use their studios today. And looking forward to talking with some students down here at the Sports Management Program in the School of Business and students from Sports Media today. Have a great rest of your Monday. Is it One Bills Live today, right, Dan? One Bills Live coming your way here on a Buffalo Football Monday. So we'll do that. And, of course, Sabres tonight. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock here. Sabres pregame at 6:30 on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.